Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Oh, thank you, Father, so much for your goodness to us and working daily to bring us into alignment with you. Thank you, Father. Give us your grace every day, Lord. Amen. Well, I'm going to talk about Casting Down the Dragon, number 5. Well, I'm going to start out with a revelation we call Massive Upheavals Coming to Cast Down Idols. You want to conquer the dragon, you got to conquer the idols, right? Amen. This was given to Eve Brast on 6/4/22. I dreamed that I was in my maternal grandmother's house, only it was much larger than in real life. And I believe this is representing the ancient, original, and only church. My grandmother's name was Sally, which is a nickname for Sarah and means princess. Sally also means a military action, a sudden charge in the direction of the enemy. Those who are in the house, the original church, are descendants of Sarah. Amen. Spiritually speaking, who brought forth the promised seed, Isaac, for our father Abraham, whose seed we are by faith. In Galatians 3:16-18 and 26 and 29 say, "Now to Abraham were the promises spoken, and to his seed. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Now this I say, a covenant confirmed beforehand by God, the law which came 430 years after doth not disannul, so as to make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance is by the law, or of the law, it is no more promise, but God hath granted it to Abraham by promise." In verse 26, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to promise." Well, the promises were spoken to the one, and that one is Jesus Christ. How do we have those promises? We abide in Jesus Christ. That's where the promises are fulfilled. And also 1 Peter 3, 5-6 says, "For after this manner aforetime the holy women also who hoped in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose children you now are, if you do well and are not put in fear by any terror." Amen. Fear hath torment, and fear is a demon spirit, and it wants to lead us astray from justification by faith. Amen. I was in the living room over near the window in the wall that looks out onto the sunroom and separated it from the living room. So she's looking through the window into the sunroom. As we will see, the living room represents this current life living in this world. We are able to look out into the sun, S-U-N/S-O-N, room, but we see through a glass darkly, and there are different degrees of separation from Christ, who is the sun, that we experience in the flesh represented by the wall and the window. Amen. The fireplace was over to my right. And she has in parentheses, "The fireplace to my right represents that Father's righteous judgment through tribulation will come to strip his people of their idolatry with the world. Amen. The breakfast bar and kitchen area were behind me. Well, this represents the food of the kingdom, which is the Word. And it's behind me because of leaving the way of getting caught up in distractions and idolatry with things of the world, or preoccupied with family and loved ones. Isaiah 30 and 21 says, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left." So, we don't need our back to the Word. We need our face to the Word. Other distractions keep us away from the Word, but we are to become the Word made flesh, which is what Jesus was. And He is our spiritual Father. I had a table set up near the window where my leopard gecko, Arnold, and his terrarium were. This represents little idolatrous altars in our lives where we sacrifice to little dragons that we don't recognize as dragons because they are camouflaged by their spots. Yeah. Okay, she inherited this from Noah, I believe. And red nighttime heat lamp was turned on in the terrarium. And this represents stop, warning, and danger. I was going around the living room trying to gather together fragments of my past life, memories and keepsakes from when my boys were little, and all the little things that had sentimental value or importance to me. I was placing all these things around the terrarium. Well, we know that the dragon can't be the center of our lives. Only Christ can. And I want to say that our flesh is a dragon too. You know, it's part of the beast. It is the enemy of God, right? It felt like I was trying to desperately salvage the past and my former life, or hold together everything or everyone that I held dear to my heart. Well, Philippians 3:13 and 14 says, "Brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward towards the things which are before, I press on towards the goal unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Amen. My son Josiah, who had blonde hair in the dream, was behind me, off to the side. Well, Josiah was a man-child reformer that forced the people to get rid of their idols and outlawed idolatry among the people. He broke down all their idols and destroyed all the groves and put the idolatrous priests to death. 2 Kings 23:4 through 20. "And the king," that is Josiah, "commanded Hilkiah the high priest and the priests of the second order and the keepers of the threshold to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal and for Asherah and for all the hosts of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. And he put down the idolatrous priests, whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah, and in places round about Jerusalem. Them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun, and to the moon, and to the planets, and to all the hosts of heaven." And verse 13, "And the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon, the king of Israel, had builded for Ashtoreth, the abomination of the Sidonians, and for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and for Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammon, did the king defile." And he brake in pieces the pillars, and cut down the Asherim, and filled their places with the bones of men. And verse 20, and he slew all the priests of the high places that were there upon the altars, and burned men's bones upon them. And he returned to Jerusalem. Yes, he was a great reformer. He made a great turn for his people there. My ex-husband, representing my old man, was over near the fireplace saying things to discourage me and telling me that I'll never succeed in my efforts because he had all the control over these things that I was trying to hang on to. Yep, the old flesh wants to stay in control. You have to tell it no. Okay, it's dead. And she says, if you're playing in the devil's territory, he has a right to persecute and tribulate you. And you will be playing a game you can't win. Suddenly the floor of the house began to form a long, deep crack that ran the length of the living room. Then a portion of the ground behind me that the breakfast bar and kitchen were on jutted up about 6 inches above, revealing a red, sandy loam dirt. Well, this is meaning the life that comes from the Word conquers the flesh. It was above it. As I looked down at the dirt, I realized that instead of carpet, there was short green grass. 1 Peter 1:24 says, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory thereof as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower falleth. Amen. I turned away from the table and looked over towards the kitchen area, where I saw David standing next to one of the breakfast bar stools, beckoning me to come over to safety where he was. And she said, many will turn away from their idolatry and towards the spiritual food of the original gospel during the initial upheavals. David represents the man-child David reformers who will provide the spiritual food for the woman in the wilderness. Revelation 12 and 6, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that there they may nourish her 1,260 days. And that was 3.5 years, just as Jesus nourished the woman church in the wilderness too. Amen. I realized that I needed to make a decision quickly, because all the past things that I was trying to cling to or salvage were about to be taken down. Well, that sounds like great upheaval, doesn't it? And the ground that they were on was about to crumble and give way. Mm-hmm. Well, we know that many are in this position. We're about to be called to forsake all of Egypt and to partake of the manna in the wilderness. Amen. And you know, they had to leave it all behind, didn't they? Yes, and the provisions they did bring didn't last very long. God provided. So I jumped up to the higher ground that had jutted up 6 inches above and behind me, and as soon as I did, it violently jutted up out of the ground into a boat shape, 8 feet high. Sounds like an ark, right? We have many dreams of a boat shape formed by fault lines in the earth, where a refuge in the shape of an ark for God's elect is going to be. Well, she said, abiding in Jesus, the Word, is the ark. And 888 is the gematria of Jesus in the Greek. The name Jesus is unique because it means Yah, short for Yahweh, God is salvation, And this is additionally strengthened by the numerical value of 888. This important number symbolizes eternity and perfection. It also symbolizes the victory over evil. We do not know of any other person's name that also gives the value 888. It's obviously the name above all names, right? Yeah. In the Greek language, Jesus consists of six letters. The six is the number of man because Jesus was the Son of Man. Amen. And we are too. We are sons of man, sons of God, being created into His image, right? I turn to look back at all the things that I held important and were dear to me, and watched as they crumbled along with the ground underneath them, and everything from the past was swallowed up into darkness by the earth. Well, we have to be willing to forsake these things in order to be in the ark of safety. You know, they couldn't bring everything into the ark, and they didn't want to be distracted anyway. They had a mission from God. Amen. She said, the Lord is going to strip His people of all that they value above Him in order to cause them to finally quit straddling the fence and waver back and forth. We must wholeheartedly commit to walking by faith and trusting Him for everything to be true disciples for His kingdom, just like the first disciples did. David and I were standing near the breakfast bar and kitchen of my grandmother's house, which was now located on the bow of this new boat that had been formed out of the land. And her parenthesis is, the original gospel will be shared to many people coming out of the world and apostasy into the refuges, during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. True. We have to be ready to go. I felt to go and explore the land that was lower down in front of the bow of the boat. So I jumped down onto the ground in front of the boat. And she says, this is representing going to share the gospel with the rest of the woman's seed that the dragon will go and make war with after the man-child is caught up to the throne and anointed. I came up to a small hole in the ground. Now, remember this because it's going to be important later. A small hole in the ground about 6 feet from the bow that was plugged up by a small green glass flower vase that had no water in it. There was a bouquet of 3 helium balloons tied to ribbons coming up out of the dry vase. And as we will see, the apostate churches have no water of the word to produce fruit because they are too busy partying with the world and its ways. And this hole represents a pit, a trap that's been laid for the church. I called over to David to come and look at what I had found. When he came over, I pulled the balloons out of the vase and handed them to him. And she puts, dwelling in heavenly places. Yep, could be a symbol of that. The anointing, caught up to the throne of authority. Yep, that could represent all of that. We both bent forward, looking more closely at the vase and the hole. And I said, look how deep this hole is. It goes down a long way. And she puts, representing the underworld of deception and apostasy that God's people are captured by. Amen. It's true. So many are caught in little traps. Okay. Then I pull the vase out of the hole in the ground to have a better look down the hole, and I had an open vision of a cave underneath. Remember that too, because that's going to come up again. Isaiah 42:22 says, "But this is a people robbed and plundered. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth, and for a spoil, and none saith, restore." So the people of God are captured by factious apostate church leadership. Yeah. I saw a father dressed in a tan suit. He was sitting on a dining room chair. And this represents the false doctrines, food that the false shepherds feed to their followers. He was holding a 5-year-old blonde girl on his left knee. She was dressed in a white frilly party dress with black patent leather shoes. And I thought, the party is over. Meaning it's time to get on the boat, right? It was time for them to leave the partying and get on the boat. Well, this 5-year-old girl represents all those immature but elect of God who are currently walking in darkness, the patent leather shoes, right? And will come out from among the apostate church holes by grace, because the Lord is going to end their party with apostasy. Amen. The vision ended as the ground around the hole began also to crumble and fall away to reveal the cave and a red dragon that had been curled around the father and the little girl for centuries. Wow. But the father and the girl were not there. And I knew in the dream that they lived, but at the same time they had been dead a long time. Well, she has in parenthesis, the dragon has infiltrated and wrapped itself around the apostate church since the first century. This is true. And I'll just point out to you that a woman I knew who was very gifted at dreams and visions and revelation was in the false revival movement. And she looked up and saw a dragon over the assembly that was hosting it. And this dragon is a part of the same one in Revelation 12 who is attempting to devour the true leadership, the man-child. She thought that this dragon was the enemy going to attack this false revival movement. But I said, no, it's not. It is the false revival movement. Yeah. Revelation 3:1-5, "And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest, and thou art dead. Be thou watchful and establish the things that remain, which were ready to die, for I have found no works of thine perfected before my God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and didst hear, and keep it and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. But thou hast a few names in Sardis that did not defile their garments. They shall walk with me in white." There you go. "For they are worthy." That's the little blonde girl in this, which is this remnant who will leave the father in the tan suit representing the false leadership and will walk in white. Amen. And verse 5 says, "He that overcometh shall thus be arrayed in white garments, and I will in no wise blot his name out of the book of life. And I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Well, you notice that Eve, who was probably a type of the bride here, was going forth out of the ark to go and restore the apostate church. This is exactly what happened in Jesus' day when he, as the man child, sent out the one that John the Baptist called the bride, those first fruits disciples, to restore the people from the fallen church of that day. Amen. Well, the dragon had been content and at rest guarding the father and the girl, but when I had unplugged the hole and pulled out the balloons and the vase, well, I believe this represents exposure for the apostate leadership and deliverance from the trap of apostasy, because pulling out this revealed them, okay? Well, this angered the dragon and stirred him up into a rage. He began stomping around in the cave, causing the ground to break up all around the rest of the boat that had formed in the earth. Well, we've been shown for a long time, and by the Lord, that the fault lines that shaped the boat would separate after the New Madrid quake and bring water around the boat. And that's because those fault lines are spreading, will spread, right? I had never felt or experienced such rage in my life. Well, the dragon will make war on the rest of the woman's seed, representing the ground around the boat, and break up their fallow ground. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 17 says, "And the dragon waxed wroth with the woman, and went away to make war with the rest of her seed," because basically he couldn't touch the woman, right? That keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus. Yep. Well, the dragon's out there to make war against us, and we have to overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, don't we? Mm-hmm. According to Revelation 12. Then the dragon sent out a massive, raging flood of seawater towards me. The waters were so stirred up that the entire surface of the waters were covered with 2 feet of white, frothy sea foam. The sea waters represent not only the nations being stirred up against the people of God, but also the river of lies that the dragon spews out of his mouth against the woman in Revelation 12, 13 on down. I'll read that to you. And when the dragon saw that he was cast down to the earth, he persecuted the woman. By the way, this is happening, the casting down to the earth. The dragon is Satan, and he's losing his position of authority in the world. He's being cast out of everything. Not completely, obviously, but from his position of the prince of the powers of the air, right? He persecuted the woman that brought forth the man-child, and there was given to the woman the 2 wings of the great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness unto her place. Of course, that's the ark, right? Where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time, that's 3.5 years, from the face of the serpent, as the disciples were nourished for 3.5 years by the man-child Jesus, right? And the serpent cast out of his mouth after the woman water as a river, that he might cause her to be carried away by the stream. Well, this river coming out of the dragon's mouth is lies about the vaccines, lies about the plagues, lies about the aliens, lies about their 1,000 years of peace, on and on and on, right? And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the river which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Well, we know the world and the worldly church will swallow the lies, and they are doing it, and it's costing them a lot. Many people are dying. And The dragon waxed wroth with the woman, and went away to make war with the rest of her seed, that keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus. Well, interestingly enough, back in 6-5 in 2011, I had a vision of the dragon and his lies. I saw myself as a normal person in a cartoon. I was in a long log cabin cartoon house. I heard a voice warning, "David, the dragon has sent the ink lies against you." Ink as in regular writing ink, and lies. Ink lies against you. Yes, and they did. A lot of lies. They sent out a lot of lies against me and have ever since. It's the same bunch. So I opened the door on one end of the cartoon cabin and looked to my left, and I saw a dragon with his head all the way up to his shoulders, stuck into a window in the back of the cabin. That's the way he does. They come in the back way, right? And most of what I saw outside was the tail of the dragon. And as I saw this, the dragon pulled his head out and faced me. I then saw cartoon black letters, black characters, sneaking through the house from the back. In other words, they'd been released by the dragon, right? Spoken by the dragon. And as I came out of it, the Lord gave me the interpretation. The long log cabin house is UBM in the wilderness. The dragon is the corporate beast inhabited by Satan, as in Revelation 12. The prophet that teacheth lies, he is the tail of the dragon, in Isaiah 9 and 15. And the mouth was in the house speaking lies, which were turning into black text also. He who does not come through the door, which is Jesus, but climbeth up some other way, coming into the back of the house, as Jesus said in John 10 and 1, he was coming through the window in the back as a thief who comes to steal, as Jesus also said in John 10 and 10. The thief cometh not, but that he may steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and may have it abundantly. So these factious thieves, of course, are the ones who are not sent by the Lord, who speak lies to seek to steal a position of leadership and the people's hearts away from those who come through the door of Jesus. And how do they sneak in the back way? Matthew 18:15 says, Jesus said, "Tell them to first face the person they are accusing, but they go first to the saints," which is the third step in verse 17. "And they are as a thief going to the saints first, like backstabbers," they are called in the scripture. And we have had a parade of these people in the last few years. It's a cartoon because it's not a thing to be feared. I know it is God cleansing the church, for the wicked in heart listen to these people and separate from the righteous. Because we know that an evildoer giveth heed to lying lips. And it's also for the purpose of crucifying the true leaders, as was done with Jesus and the apostles and throughout history. So these ink lies and the dragon, I've said for a long time that the Lord revealed to me that the faction is a part of the dragon, seeking to devour the man-child, and they're doing that now, before, of course, the catching up to the throne and that throne authority comes. So let's go back to Eve's dream. "I and a few women that were with me were supernaturally preserved through this turbulent flood of waters, and were partially suspended above the sea foam. We came out into a broad place where the floodwaters were calm, and there were no sea foam, and we climbed up onto a flotilla of wreckage and were safe. Wreckage, Well, I believe the wreckage is Zion that the previous administration had destroyed through their sin and was now to be restored. Amen. The water now seemed to be fresh water, like in a lake. Amen. Isaiah 33 and 21 says this, "But there the Lord will be with us in majesty, a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with oars." In other words, man-made religion, a man-motivated and empowered religion. "Neither shall gallant ship pass thereby." So there is that place, that broad place, right? And Eve gave Psalm 18, 15 through 19. "Then the channels of water appeared, and the foundations of the world were laid bare. And at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils, he sent from on high, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They came upon me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place." There it is again. "And he delivered me because he delighted in me." Thank you, Lord. I looked back where the foamy, turbulent waters were still raging, and I saw a white leviathan sea dragon breach the waters and then dive back under. I understood that there was still danger in these waters and that this dragon hated me and those standing with me on the wreckage as much as the red dragon had. Well, the red dragon, deep state, Satanists, and the white dragon, New Age, Earth Alliance, that are warring in the earth right now for dominion over the earth and its people. And, of course, the Christians have a lot of hope, you know, that the white dragon will win. And there is a white dragon among the Chinese and a red dragon, by the way, associations. And, well, we have hopes to conquer, that the white dragon will conquer the deep state. But still, you know, the Medo-Persian Empire conquered the Babylonian Empire. And both of those were beast empires. And for now, the enemy of our satanic enemy is our friend. Yeah. Well, interesting. One of the women with me on the wreckage was worried about a little boy that had been with us in the turbulent, foamy sea waters, and suddenly we saw a little dark-haired boy, about 6 years old, come up out of the water and stand on the edge of the flotilla. And she said this little boy looked like a mini version of Hitler, but without the mustache. He represents the factious Nazi leaders in the church and state who are part of the river of lies that the dragon spews out of his mouth at the righteous. They are part of the white dragon because they appear righteous but are not born from above. They're corrupt. The dark hair represents that they are submitted to darkness, like 1 Corinthians 11 speaks of the hair being a sign of submission. They're submitted to darkness. They work for the white dragon, and they represent a corporate body of spiritually stunted and immature factious leaders around the world, because it's a little young boy who is a Hitler. and they have been among us for a long time, because in 1 John 2:19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out, that they might be made manifest that they all are not of us. Amen. I knew that the white dragon had sent him to come against us on the wreckage. He was menacing, and we were very concerned about him, but then his pants fell down around his ankles, exposing his very small and immature private area. Uh-oh. Well, this is the factious leadership in the church and state. They are too immature to sow the seed of the word, but they make themselves leaders. And they will all be exposed for their sexual depravity. It's in both camps. And their evil abominations. It's going to be exposed. He became enraged by his exposure and held out both of his arms at his sides with clenched fists and let out a roar of rage that was much bigger than he was, because he represents the Nazi factious leaders who think that they are bigger than they are. They just have a purpose here. They're all under the control, just like the Lord led the destroyer on his chain through Egypt, right? They're all under control. And after he was exposed, the white dragon snatched him backwards into the water. Uh-oh. We know that those who sow deception and lies must also reap it. It's the law. Right. He sank feet first down into the depths with the dragon to be punished for his failures in service to him. Well, they will fail to deceive and destroy the righteous. They'll get those that are his for the moment at least, you know, but they can't deceive the righteous who hold to the word of God. So God is using these people as vessels of dishonor, Eve says, but judgment will be turned back upon their own heads, as the word says over and over. Psalm 7, 11 through 16. God is a righteous judge, yea, a God that hath indignation every day. If a man turn not, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. He hath also prepared for him the instruments of death. He maketh his arrows fierce, fiery shafts. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity. Yea, he hath conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. He hath made a pit and digged it. There's the hole. And is fallen into the ditch which he made. In other words, the deception that he gave out, he received. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violence shall come down upon his own pate. Then I woke up. Well, we all have a word here from Joe Britz that he got on 6-3-22. Floodwaters rising, factious exposed. There it is again. In this dream, I was walking downhill, and I saw in front of me stones in the water. I could see that the water was rising very fast. I turned around to go tell about the water rising so fast. Well, the waters are the lies and the destruction that the dragon spews out of his mouth to deceive the woman church, right? I then see a hole in the ground. There it is again. Now, these two didn't know about each other's dream at all. A hole in the ground that has been sealed. Uh-huh. Just like Eve's dream. And I know it covers a cave. There it is again, the cave, that nobody can see or enter. Well, just like in Eve's dream that we just shared, and a perfect confirmation. The next moment, I'm in the cave, and I saw my sister, Anna Marie, meaning he, that is God, has favored me. He has favored me in the cave. And in front of her, on a flat surface, I see a naked young male child lying. So this is the little girl, right? That had favor with God. Okay, the factious leaders, this male child lying naked. This is the factious leaders exposed, as in Eve's dream. And I know that there was someone else in the cave that I could not see. The dragon. The dragon was also in Eve's dream. But it can't be seen. You know, it's a corporate entity that covers the earth, but it can't be seen in the natural. I moved the child a little forward so he could not fall off the flat surface. Well, what came to me immediately when I read this was that we tried very hard to save him from falling, but his lust just took him away, and God was not keeping him. He had black hair. So I asked the Lord for a word by faith at random and received Exodus 10:27. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. Well, as you know, when God hardened Pharaoh's heart, it was so that he would have to do more signs and wonders to set the people free. And they would, of course, see those signs and wonders and understand God's care and his desire to set them free, right? And we know that the man-child Moses prophesied Pharaoh's fall, and the Red Sea removed Pharaoh and his army as in our day. Amen. Well, we know that these people went out from us, but they do not belong to us. If they would, they would have continued with us, the scripture says. And that's a part of God's cleansing of the church. He's gathering together the tares and bundling them in bundles to burn them. And so that the wheat, of course, shines forth in the kingdom of the Father. The church is being sanctified through this act of deception on the part of these people who have such ambition that they would consider themselves some kind of a leader. Okay? And, of course, the devil deceives them into thinking, aha, I finally got a following. Well, the following, of course, is those that need to be, because of their failure to hold to the word, need to be taken out of the church. And through this deception, God sends deception to cleanse the body. And so these people, although they are vessels of dishonor and won't get a good reward for this, but a bad reward, they are being used to cleanse the church. We don't have to worry about deception. This harvest is God's harvest. He is going to harvest the fruit. And the rest he doesn't want. And so we know that God works all things after the counsel of his own will. And nobody restrains him or even says unto him, what are you doing? As the scripture says, you know. So this is God's way of delivering his true church. You know, it's all right. A lot of people can play church as long as times are profitable and prosperous and so on and so forth. There's peace in the land somewhat, you know. It's easy for a person to be a Christian. But what happens if they get persecuted? This begins separating. Or if they get corrected. You know, this is what has been delivering us of the faction and their leaders, because they went out from among us. And that is when they continue in their sins and you tell them they can't do that, they get angry. consistently. This has been the problem. You say, no, this is what the Word says, you know. No, you can't seduce a married woman in our midst. And, of course, they get angry, mad, go away, tear things up, so on and so forth. Oh, they claim they didn't do it, but they did, and we got proof of that. But the thing is, they must come out from among us because they don't have the same desires that we have to fear the Lord and obey His Word. And that is proven through the tribulation. So why is the church going through tribulation? For the same reason. We want to find out who is the church. The church will be much smaller than what it started out being. And that's because God's after the fruitful. And He's coming to pick the fruit. As the first vision my youngest son had was of a ship on the water that was filled with people dressed in black and people dressed in white. And they were sitting, the people dressed in white were on the right side of the boat, and the people dressed in black were on the left side of the boat, or the wrong side of the boat, right? And a military plane came down out of the sky and shot a missile at the boat and blew it all to pieces. I want to tell you that there is a big shaking coming for the church, right? And because most of it is not the church and needs to fall by the wayside, right? And so anyway, everybody was in the water. But the water, I mean, I believe it represents the Word of God. And the Word of God is very dangerous for people who walk in darkness. And they were walking, the people on the left side of the boat were walking in darkness, okay? And so, and the people on the right were walking in the light, obviously. So they were all in the water, and the people that were in black sunk beneath, kind of like Noah's Ark, lifted up the righteous, and the waters took out the wicked. And the Word, the water of the Word, will take out the wicked, because they're going to be judged by the Word, as it says. Okay, so they sank. And then the people dressed in white swam around and took parts from the old ship, pieces of it, and built a smaller ship. A smaller ship. And then they needed a motor for the smaller ship. Well, you know how a child is. They went to the store to get a motor for this smaller ship. And they came back with a motor that was too big. It was cumbersome, like the motor on the apostate church today that motivates it and empowers it. And so they found out it was too big and cumbersome, so they went back to the store and got a smaller one and put it on the ship, and everybody was happy. Well, there's a new government coming that is a smaller government, but the people are going to be weeded out. The apostates are going to be weeded out. They are most of the trouble. I mean, if you go through this land, for instance, the big sin cities who are controlled by the deep state, that's where all the crime is. And it's still that way today. In the church, it's that way. These leftists are full of crime, and they don't want to get rid of it. And so they have to go. And so God puts it in their heart, this spirit of faction, which is really anger and railing and blaming somebody else for all of their sins. You know, that's what they do. And so they're removed from the boat and removed from the people of God. And the people of God are free, and they shine forth in the kingdom of their Father, as the Bible says. So God's in all of this. Fear not. Just desire earnestly to fear God and depart from evil. This is very, very important at this time. And all the things that hold us back, the many things that control our lives, that are important to us more than just following the Lord, You'll have to lay them on the side because people are going to understand that those refuges of light we shared a dream about recently, you can't bring it all with you. This will be a guidance from the Holy Spirit to get up and go and separate and leave behind these things that you do not need. Amen? Well, Father, we thank you so much for showing us this wonderful revelation, true revelation, and that it's all part of your plan. It's good. You will sanctify your people. And also, Father, we thank you for being with Michael and the brethren as Michael shares the word with them. And thank you, Father, for pouring out your Spirit upon all of us, causing us to run after you like the Shulamite in Song of Solomon, fanatically running after the Lord. Amen. Let it be so. God bless you and keep you.